Hey, this is Dave, the head coach of Lafayette, doing sort of a long-time listener, first-time caller thing here. I have the very unenviable task of filling in for Real Sim Shady on this podcast, but thought we'd try to keep his legacy alive. Fortunately, I'm not trying this alone, as we have the former SDSU coach and current Kennesaw State coach, one of Heat Check Sim's resident analysts, Matt, on the call. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited to keep Shady Bracket Show.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like this has been a long time coming, given the long layoff between seasons. But we're back into postseason action, and hopefully we can keep this sim going far more consistently moving forward. I know Eli's a busy man, but a lot of us look forward to this probably more than we care to admit to our family and friends.
Amen to that.
Well, because Eli is likely not going to be able to slow roll the conference tourney results, we're going to share those results first and then get to the bracket. We'll also be doing some commentary along the way and to break down some bracket stuff after the fact. Before we do that, though, Matt, as a primer for the conference tourney results, tell us what you're looking for, who's on the bubble, who's on the right side of it, who's on the wrong side of it.
Oof, man, it is tough. There are so many teams that are just kind of – that bubble just seems so – I mean, just looking at it, there's so many teams that are just right there. I have going into conference tournaments here, the teams that I have right on the bubbles. I've got Boston College, Mississippi, Creighton, South Carolina as my last four byes into the tournament. I've got UNLV, Ball State, VCU, Texas as my last four in. I've got Denver, Indiana State, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh's my first four out. I've got Detroit, UCLA, St. Bonaventure, and Rhode Island as my next four out. And then just kind of some other teams to keep an eye on. I've got like Georgia State right there, your Lafayette Leopards. I've got San Diego, Missouri State, Old Dominion, Arkansas, Georgia. All these teams just right there, right on the cusp, that just need a little bit of work. Maybe a couple wins in their conference tournament could help boost them into the tournament. But those are going to be kind of the teams I'm looking for. And as we're going through the results, I'll kind of, you know, just throw in there, hey, this is a team that could have used an extra win right here. We'll see how that affects them going forward.
Yeah, well, a lot of teams on your list that have some hope. Unfortunately, I was pretty far down that list and not even able to participate in the A-10 tournament. So I'm feeling like I'm on the outside looking in, but I guess we won't know but for a few minutes from now. So with all
well,
that being...
crazier things have happened. The reason why I did have you still on that list is because in the past we do have precedent of teams that did not quite make it into their conference tournament who still, due to some other results, were able to bump up their SOR. So there is still a slimmer of hope. It's not necessarily, you know, you don't control your own destiny, but there is still a chance.
Well, I think my guys might be looking ahead to season 8 already, but since you're telling us to keep our hopes alive, we'll do just that, at least until we read the conference results. But with that, yeah, all right, get your beer, get your liquor, your wine, your hard seltzer, whatever you got, no judgments on my end. But let's start with the conference tourney results. So first up, the very conference I was just talking about, the A-10, where we did have four teams tying for eighth seed, but Dayton getting it based on their SOR. Dayton takes advantage in the first round and upsets one seed Penn State, which I think all but seals their tourney hopes of getting in. Also in the first round, VCU with a huge 4-5 win against Rhode Island in the opening round. You mentioned they're one of your bubble teams. But alas, in the final, we saw St. Joseph's win this tournament as the 2 seed, 63-61. Dayton was the preseason number 3 roster rated team in the A-10. Apparently, they saved their best for last to even get to the conference tourney final. But Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, St. Joseph's winning. It's their third title in the A-10. Not really a big surprise there. I did not see – well, I shouldn't say. I knew that Penn State-Dayton game was going to be not your average 1-8 game. Dayton was a team that I had kind of right on the safe, need another win to get in. But, yeah, that win over Penn State, I have no doubt Dayton's getting in the tournament. The one team I'm really interested in here is VCU. VCU, I thought they needed maybe at least a win, maybe two to get in, and VCU fell in the semifinals to Dayton. So – that's a team that's going to be a bubble team right there to keep an eye on is the VCU Rams.
It's interesting. Dayton underperformed relative to how strong their roster was in the A-10, but VCU has, I think, historically been a team that has had a strong roster, but hasn't quite put it together until maybe the really end of the season. So we'll see if that is a benefit or a disadvantage in how Eli stacks this field when it comes to the bubble. But moving on to the ACC. So we had a thriller with 4-seed FSU beating 2-seed Louisville in the title game, 64-63. While they were 2 seeds of separation, they were actually only separated by 3 in the regular season in terms of SOR. So yeah, Matt, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, this was a 3-horse race all season between North Carolina, Louisville, and Florida State. One of these teams had to win, and Florida State, I mean, if you just look at how they did there, you know, they beat Notre Dame in the quarterfinal by 6 points, you know, hold on to beat North Carolina by 2 in the semifinals, and then Louisville by 1 in the final. They're going to be in the fight for a number 1 seed. Bubble teams, Duke won in their game. I think that's going to that will boost them into the tournament. I had Boston College as maybe needing a win. They're lost in the quarterfinal. I'm not 100% sure they're going to be another bubble team. I think that one team we can take off the bubble is Wake Forest. They lost in the quarterfinals by 2 to North Carolina. I don't think it's going to be enough to get them in, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the team that we didn't even have to talk about, obviously, for these results, but one that we will likely be talking about come tourney time is North Carolina, who, yeah, did fall in the semifinal of Florida State 63-61, but we know we'll be hearing from the Tar Heels come tourney time. To move on to the America East, Hartford, the 1 seed in the conference, they bowed out in the semifinals, and so we had a 2-3 matchup in the final with UMBC beating Discord staple Stony Brook 74-73 in a tight one.
Yeah, the America East Conference is one that just defies all logic. UMBC wins their second title. They were the preseason conference number 6. It's the 3rd win for a number 4 seed in the conference tournament. But the other stat that just blew my mind is the fact that the number 1 seed has never won the conference tournament in now 7 heat check sim seasons. So this is kind of one of those conferences that, you know, if you're the number 1 seed, you should just plan on playing in the NIT, because it's the NCAAs has not happened for them yet. But congratulations to UMBC. That's a great run for them, and they're, you know, a pretty solid team.
It's easy to cheer for some of the Discord coaches. Stony Brook's been a great participant in the bracket buster, but they get their hearts broken with a 1-point loss there in the final. But we'll see them hopefully in different postseason play and in upcoming seasons as they continue to build that program. For the American, the biggest surprise early results were a first round upset with 6-seed UCF beating 3-seed UConn. UCF then beat 2-seed Cincy, only to lose at the hands of 1-seed Temple 76-66. So Temple gets the auto bid and finishes as one of the best teams in the country, also keeping other bubble teams' hopes alive since UCF did not steal a bid.
Yeah, this conference was, I think everybody assumed that it was going to be 3 bids at least with Temple, Cincinnati, and UConn. I think the biggest thing is we sorted out the seedings now. I think, you know, Temple's going to be the best team seeded out of the American. I think Cincinnati will probably be the 2nd and Connecticut will be the 3rd. That's kind of all we really were looking for, save for a potential bubble burster. UCF, great run, but they just could not get it done in the final.
Temple seems to be building a really great program. I have to go up in recruiting battles with them in the Northeast. So unfortunately, I don't think we've heard the last from them in postseason play, let alone on the recruiting trail. But moving on to the Atlantic Sun, a weird quirk or oversight by Eli, but Citadel did play in the conference tourney. They beat Matt's very own Kennesaw State in the first round, only to lose in the semis. So I guess it didn't come back to bite anybody in the sim. The title went to Jacksonville, the 3-seed, beating Florida Gulf Coast. So Jacksonville will go to the big dance.
Yeah, congratulations to Jacksonville. It's their first title. I like to think that we put out the blueprint for Florida Gulf Coast to knock out the Citadel, but we'll see how that goes. But congratulations to Jacksonville. A-Sun was going to be a 1-bid conference no matter what, and you know, we'll see how Jacksonville can do.
Well, I know you're on the quote unquote road to glory, taking Kennesaw State, you know, from the bottom to the top. I guess you got to go through some pain in that process since he lost by 22 in the first round, but I guess it's all part of the process, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of the process. It's just, we knew this first year is going to be tough. You know, we've turned over, I think six of the eight roster spots. We'll see how recruiting goes for us here. If fingers crossed, we get the two targets that we were looking for, then we can just start our full development phase. And by S10, S11, we're going to be fighting for top spots. Hopefully maybe some at-large bids. We'll see.
Nice. Well, Citadel and the rest of the crew have targets on their backs from Kennesaw State, but moving to the Big 12, it's really been a two-horse race all year with Oklahoma State and Kansas. No surprise it came down to the both of them in the final, and Oklahoma State defeats Kansas in overtime, 91-88. The way these two teams have been going in the regular season, in the conference tournament, and on the recruiting trail, it feels like we might get a national champion out of this conference sooner than later.
I agree. This conference definitely was the two-horse conference. I had Kansas and Oklahoma State safely in the tournament. One potential bubble team I was watching was Texas. I put them down as I thought they needed maybe two wins to get to, you know, maybe get to the final to get them in, but they lose in the first round to Baylor. So I'm not too – I don't think Texas is going to get in. We'll see what happens. It depends on what happens around them, but I think Texas needed at least one win, maybe two, to get in, and I don't think that they will get in. But congratulations to Oklahoma State. It's their first title, so congratulations to the Cowboys.
Congrats to them and to Kansas. They've both been in the sim for a while. Kansas's coach used to be my nemesis in the Patriot, coaching Holy Cross, and clearly they're both doing big things, so we haven't heard the last from either of them. Moving on to the Big East, we'll keep this one quick. One seed Seton Hall beating two seed Providence in the tourney final, 65-61.
Yep, great. Big East is a really solid conference. They had four guaranteed in, according to my math. I had Seton Hall, Providence, Villanova, Butler in. Creighton, I think, is one that could sneak in. I had them as maybe needing a win, and they were able to beat Butler in that 4-5 matchup. And so a loss to Seton Hall is not necessarily a bad thing. So hopefully we'll see. Fingers crossed. Creighton could be a bubble team right there. Mentioning Seton Hall, that's their first title. It's also is the first time that a team other than Villanova has won the conference tournament. So looks like we're finally going to get some new blood in the Big East. And congratulations.
Yep, and again, for those of us recruiting in the Northeast, we're seeing Seton Hall all over the place, so they might be building on this one for seasons to come. To the Big Sky, which I think is down to maybe two active coaches, but I could be misremembering. Idaho was challenged in its 1-8 game, only winning by 6, but avoided other top teams as the 7-seed Eastern Washington beat the 2-3 seed to get to the final. Ultimately, though, Idaho blew them out and advances to the Big Dance.
Yeah, congratulations to the Vandals. Their second Big Sky title in a row. They are a very senior-heavy team. I think they have six of their players are seniors. Their coach is very active in the Discord and great person. I am just very happy for those guys. As I'm a former Big Sky coach as well as Idaho State for the first 3 seasons. And, you know, I've got love for those guys. And Idaho's doing it the right way. I'm hoping to see them make some noise in the tournament.
Yeah, hoping some coaches in the Big Sky stick around. It's got some pedigree there, and obviously former coaches who have moved on to bigger and better things. But we don't want to leave Weber State all by his lonesome, since I think he might be the only other active Discord coach. Yeah. So we'll see what Idaho's coach's future is. To the Big South, which also felt like a two-horse race all year, and indeed it came down to the 1-seed versus the 2-seed, with both teams, Winthrop and Asheville, finishing 14-2 in the conference, excuse me. Winthrop takes the title 76-70.
Yeah, this season was just a yo-yo season when it came to bracketology with Big South. It was always either UNC Asheville or Winthrop, and they just kept passing it back and forth. But yeah, Winthrop wins their fourth Big South title, making another trip to the Big Dance. Big South as a whole is kind of down a little bit, but they still have some competition at the top of that conference.
Yeah, an interesting quirk of that conference, because with the switch preseason with Radford and Richmond, you now have Richmond in this conference, and could they ascend the ladder of the Big South, similar to what Delaware State has been doing in the CAA and Delaware in the MEAC, I believe. So is Richmond trying to carve a new path for itself and get out of the, I don't want to call it the up-and-coming A-10, the powerhouse A-10, as it were, and get into a conference where it can be a little more competitive?
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of a shock. I did not see that that conference switch coming. But I think that you know, Richmond did make the semifinals, one point loss to Winthrop in the semis. So maybe they're a team that is going to be challenging for the Big South title in the next couple of years.
All right, so more to come from the Spiders. As we go to the Big West, Long Beach, who's pretty much carried the banner for this conference at times with UC Davis as well. Long Beach rolled through the tournament, averaging a margin of victory of 28 points, and they avoided the perennial contender UC Davis, who lost in the semis. So Long Beach State will advance to the NCAA tournament.
Yep, their second title. Long Beach State was the clear favorites in this conference. They were heavy favorites. I don't think I had anybody else even considered to go to the big dance after out of these guys.
Yeah, Long Beach State's been a fun Discord participant as well, so we're always happy to see some of our Discord brethren make it to the big dance, so congrats to them. On to the Colonial with Discord regular, Delaware State, who apparently was offended that Matt put them in as a 15 seed in his latest bracketology. Well, he doesn't have to worry about being offended because Delaware State lost in the final 76-74 in overtime to 2-seed William & Mary.
Yeah, Delaware State, I am really sad that you guys missed the tournament. We've had some great banter over the past, and I hope that stuff comes back. But congratulations to William & Mary. It's their second title. It's another one bid conference. A lot of really solid teams at the top of this one. Delaware State's been really good. UNC Wilmington, Towson, William & Mary, Hofstra, Drexel. This is a really underrated conference that I think if we get some more coaches in there at the mid to bottom boost as we move forward.
Yeah, and Delaware State, as I've shared on Discord, has good recruiting class coming in and a lot of development happening. So obviously not the last we've heard from them, but has to be a bitter disappointment to end the season to lose closely at the end there. So sorry to them, but William & Mary will advance, and we'll see how the Tribe does come tourney time. To the CUSA, which also was a two-horse race all year with Eli's very own Charlotte sweeping the conference regular season at 16-0, and then again, Discord staple ODU at 15-1. The tables did turn in the final, though, as ODU got the best of Charlotte 82-73 to get the auto bid. Matt, is this bid theft number one? ODU had a 71 SOR to finish the regular season. So what do you have here?
I don't think it will be a bid theft. I had, in my projections, I thought that Charlotte with two wins could make the tournament. I think they are still on the bubble, but I think this could be a two-bid Conference USA. I think Charlotte's resume is strong enough, even with the loss in the final, to make it into the big dance as an at-large bid. This is Old Dominion's third title. They've got, they have the best offense in the country, but they're going to be a really dangerous team to match up with when we get to the bracket reveal.
Yeah, it's fun to see ODU in the postseason, and it's kind of weird to think that Eli's team hasn't been around for the postseason very many times, at least not since I've been in the sim. So we'll see if they can sneak in after losing the conference final. I also was alerted to the fact that I skipped over the Big Ten. I guess I was in a hurry to get to the Big 12, but let me cover the Big Ten real quick. Discord's Minnesota made a run to the semis, only to lose by 4 to Ohio State. But Ohio State was no match for Michigan, with Michigan winning 82-54 in the final. Michigan's average margin of victory in the Big Ten tournament was 27.
Yeah, Michigan is just, they are a juggernaut. That team is going to be so much fun to watch. I'm fairly certain they're going to be the number one overall seed. Their resume is just head and shoulders above anybody near them. I think that these guys have five safe teams. I think Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State, Michigan State, Maryland are all safely in the tournament. Iowa is the team I think is going to be another bubble one here. I think that they needed at least one win, and they went out in the first round to Ohio State by five. So that's another team. Keep your eye on Iowa. There's another bubble team.
Reigning national champion, Iowa, correct?
I don't remember who won. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember who won season six.
I thought it was Iowa versus Tulane, but you know what? My memory could be failing me. We'll double check, you know, after the break when we get into the bracket breakdown. But but meantime, we got the Big Ten result, and we will go back to the regular order and get to Horizon. So the Horizon Conference led all year by Green Bay. They advanced to the final where they squared off against number two seed Detroit. So would this be another bid theft as Green Bay had been highly ranked all year? The answer is no. Green Bay gives everyone a breather, beating Detroit 86-82 to take the auto bid.
Yeah, this is another one that's going to be interesting. Detroit has been right there all year. And, I mean, they took care of business in the first two rounds. They got a solid matchup. 4-point loss to Green Bay is a highly rated team. Is Detroit's another one of those bubble teams. We'll see if they did enough to get in. But yeah, congratulations to Green Bay. That's their second title, preseason conference number one. They're just cruising along there in the Horizon League. We'll be interested to see what their seeding is. That's another thing that's going to be interesting, is to see where, if they fall in that 3, 4, 5, 6 range. It's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, an easy program to cheer for. Very active Discord coach, posting great analyses and really elevating the Discord and the community overall. So congrats to Green Bay. Moving to the Ivy, which had some weirdness with the league only having 7 teams, as Cornell had a postseason ban. So Columbia got a bye in the first round. It wouldn't matter, though, as 2-seed Princeton beats 4-seed Brown in the final 80-66.
Yeah, Princeton's third conference title. I think I want to say they have the best. They're the best offense in the Ivy League. I'm not really surprised about Columbia losing in that semifinal. I think that not having that quarterfinal game, maybe kind of, even though it's a sim, maybe they were kind of looking over Brown to get into the final. But nonetheless, Princeton takes the title and will return to the NCAA tournament.
When you're a one-bid league, you cannot afford to take a night off when it comes tourney time. So, unfortunately, Columbia on the outside looking in and Princeton taking the auto bid. To the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the always fun conference, a year where we finally saw Monmouth come back to the pack, finishing as the 3-seed behind Rider and Marist. Monmouth's hopes of an auto bid were dashed in the first round, losing to 6-seed Canisius 59-63. In the final, we had Rider, which is a really strong team in this conference, taking down Canisius 50-43.
Yeah, Rider, the 1-seed, getting their second title. Interesting note, the number 1-seed coming into the conference tournament in the Metro Atlantic has won 6 of the 7 times. So this is one, as opposed to the America East, this is one of those ones where you want to be the number 1-seed because more than likely you're going to get in. That's also been helped by the fact that Monmouth has been just an absolute just bullet train the last 2-3 seasons. But I do expect them to come back strong next year. It looks like they have a solid recruiting class, and we'll see if they can return to the top of the MAC.
Yeah, by their coach's own admission on Discord, this was a rebuilding year, but to finish third in the conference is nothing to scoff at. And yeah, it's only a matter of time before we see them plastered on an NCAA tournament bracket. Given how they've been recruiting and how their coach develops the roster. To the MAC, which is, again, a phenomenal conference to follow, even if you're not an actual coach in that conference. Bowling Green, who finished 15-1 in the conference, got past a close first-round contest. They were done a favor by Kent State, who lost in a 2-7 upset to Eastern Michigan. Bowling Green advanced to the final. Miami of Ohio beat Eastern Michigan. Into the final, we had Bowling Green taking down Miami 73-64 to cap its best season in sim history.
Yeah, Bowling Green, first title. Another one of those conferences where it just seems like everybody's won a title in that conference. They just take turns, just a wheel of good teams. And I think this is another conference that is going to be at least a 3-bid conference, could potentially be a 4-bid conference. We'll see about Ball State. I kind of thought they may have needed a win or two to get in. They did lose in the first round to Ohio, but that is not something to be disappointed about for Ball State. That was a team that I want to say was like 10th preseason in the MAC, and they were on the cusp of making the tournament. So nothing to be ashamed about at Ball State. But yeah, I think Bowling Green, Kent State, Miami of Ohio. The thing that's going to be interesting here is Bowling Green's seed. did they do enough to bump them up to maybe a one seed possibly? I think they'll probably be a high two. We'll see when we get to the bracketology, but yeah, that's the team that that could make some noise.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw as many hashtag Forbid Max, this season in Discord, but we'll see. We'll see. We don't know the results yet, so that'll all be coming up. To go to the MEAC, ever since Delaware came to town, it's been all them. This season was no different. They beat Coppin State by 10 in the conference final and got that out of it.
Oh, yeah. This right now is Delaware's conference, and I don't know if I see that changing anytime soon. They're just head and shoulders better than everybody else. I think they're, Coppin State has been pushing, and I think that Coppin State's gonna make a run at them in the next few years. But Delaware, Coppin State, this is gonna be your MEAC championship game for the next foreseeable future.
Delaware State, had you stayed in the MEAC, this could have been you, but it is your rival across town who gets the bid while you're gonna have to sit at home, unfortunately. So, getting to the Missouri Valley Tournament. The Missouri Valley, prior to the conference tournament, seemed to have two teams guaranteed to make the tourney with Loyola and Illinois State. Both advanced to the semis, where Illinois State was bounced by 3-seed Missouri State. So in the final, we had Loyola versus Missouri State, and Missouri State steals the bid, beating 1-seed Loyola 72-66. Matt, do you have any thoughts on whose bubble might have just gotten burst?
Oof. There are so many bubbles that are possibly in trouble. I think of somebody like VCU. I'm thinking about, somebody like Iowa, Creighton, those, maybe Charlotte, those school, Detroit, that could be a bid right there that was taken away from somebody. Congratulations to Missouri State, their first Missouri Valley Conference title. One of the bubble teams I had here too is Indiana State, and they fell to Valpo in the first round. So I think Indiana State is going to be on the outside looking in when all is said and done.
Well, as someone who's been to the MVC tournament in person in non-sim life, you're bound for some craziness. It's a great tournament at the Scott Trade Center, and we saw some great basketball with a huge upset with Missouri State taking that bid, and we'll see how it all shakes out when it comes to the bracket. To the Mountain West, one of the best and most active, fun conferences around in the Discord. Fresno State pulls off a first-round upset of UNLV in the semis. 1-seed Nevada lost to 4-seed San Diego State, while Fresno surprised again and beat San Jose State 73-71. And so in the final, San Jose State lost to Fresno State 73-71, meaning Fresno State wins the auto bid. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Oh, man, this tournament, this one, when I was looking at the results, before I looked at these results, I wrote down that I thought that Nevada and San Jose State were safe, and I thought that UNLV and San Diego State each needed a win to get into the tournament. And Fresno State beats UNLV in the first round. Then they go on to win the tournament. I messaged you, and I said, I think Fresno State may have stolen UNLV's bid. And it's going to be very interesting. If I'm UNLV right now, I mean, I don't know. I'm on pins and needles, because that was a huge result that I don't think any of us saw. I think, they were talking in the Discord about, Forbid Mountain West, but I don't think that it's going to be the four that they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, pardon my French, but this tournament was fucking crazy. The fact that Fresno might be the biggest bid thief of them all. They finished with a 500 record in the conference, 13-15 overall, and a 143 SOR, and they made a run. So hats off to them. I can't imagine what it's like to be UNLV's coach right now, but I guess they'll either get good news or be put out of their misery in a few short minutes here. To the Northeast, everyone's favorite NEC Discord coach Wagner, as a 2-seed, beat 4-seed Farley Dickinson 70-62 to win the auto bid.
Oh man, this was one of those feel good stories. I felt great for Wagner's coach. He's been just so stressed with that Northeast Conference, and like, there's not anybody else over there in the Discord, and it just seems like he has great teams, and then just can't quite make it into the dance. But here you go, Wagner, third title. Congratulations. So happy for him. Like, legit feel good story.
Love Wagner's coach. He, despite being isolated in that conference Discord, is a great participant in Bracket Busters, and and happy to see him dance in S7. So congrats to him again. And yeah, good for someone to cheer for out of that conference. I have no idea who manages any of those other teams. In the Ohio Valley, 4-seed Murray State upsets 1-seed Belmont 72-64 to win the auto bid. And what I'm guessing, Matt, will be a one bid league.
Yeah, absolutely. Belmont was a good team, but I don't think that their resume was strong enough for an at-large consideration. I don't even think I had them on the bubble, but Murray State's first Ohio Valley title. Congratulations to those guys. Another really solid conference, top to bottom. Great teams there, good coaches. Just excited for Murray State to make it into the dance.
Yep, absolutely. Kind of miss some of the action with Eastern Kentucky, Moorhead, and some of those folks, but it's always been a fun conference to watch. So for Pac-12, perhaps unsurprisingly, we had a 1-seed Utah facing 2-seed Arizona in the title game. Arizona as a 2-seed wins the Pac-12 67-62.
Yeah, two best teams in the conference. This is a down year for the Pac-12. I think I only had three teams safe, and I didn't even have anybody listed on the bubble. I thought California may have had a chance to potentially get on the bubble, but they didn't even – I mean, they made it to the semifinals. But Utah, Arizona, Oregon, those will be your three teams in. Bill Walton doesn't have to worry about watching too many NCAA tournaments and tournament games in this one. But, you know, shout out to you, Bill Walton, over there on the Serengeti, you know, doing all your stuff.
Highly curious who that coach is. I'd venture a guess, but honestly, I have no effing idea. So maybe at some point he'll out himself. But meanwhile, congrats to Arizona on winning that Pac-12 title game. And they're always a force in the tournament, so I'm certain they will be this year too.
I like to think that the Bill Walton Discord account is actually someone who used to be a coach who just, like, gave up their team but just still wants to kind of – you know, get involved somehow. That's my theory on it. It's somebody who used to coach and used to be in the Discord, but it's kind of that's my thought.
I mean, if that's how you spend your free time, hats off to you. if you're not a head coach, meanwhile, shameless plug, for Sim Joe Lenardi, who departed the Sim, a while ago. If you're listening to this, Joe, we'd love to have you back. You added a lot of value to the Discord, and we'd love to see you, you resume those responsibilities and give us some bracketology yourself. So that's an open invite to the Patriot League. It's been Holy Cross all year long, and the conference tourney was no different. They beat Army 87-52 in the final. Holy Cross didn't even have to face the 2 or 3 seeds in the tourney. And for me personally, given I am guessing I will not be playing in postseason play this season, it would have been nice to be in the Patriot this year.
Yeah, Holy Cross beat Fordham by 32. They beat American by 43, and they beat Army by 35 in the conference tournament. Holy Cross, the Patriot League is their conference. They just, even at the beginning of the season, I think they were 3.5 points better average than on roster rating than anybody else in their conference. They've deserved this title, and they're going to be a solid team going into the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the last we'll hear from them as we get into postseason play. They're battle tested. I think over the years, Holy Cross has been a premier program in the Patriot, and so maybe it'll make some noise come tournament play. To the Sun Belt, it came down to 1-seed Louisiana Monroe and 2-seed Georgia State in the title game. 2-seed Georgia State advances to the Big Dance 69-55. Their SOR was 28 points higher than Monroe, so maybe this is actually what was ordained.
Yeah, this result was well earned for Georgia State. They've been strong all year. They've been a team that has been kind of on the fringes of the bubble in my bracketology. I don't think they would have had a good enough. I don't think they would have been good enough to get an at-large bid. I think it would have been close. So they definitely needed this win, and they are going to be another team that's very fun to watch in the Big Dance.
Nice. Well, congrats to Georgia State on a well-deserved win in the Sun Belt. Moving on to the SoCon, one of the most fun and competitive conferences around. There was a three-way tie for second place at 11-5, with Tennessee Tech getting the 2-seed. The seeds held in the first round, other than VMI beating Chattanooga 64-58. In the semis, 1-seed UNCG won, and so did Tennessee Tech, in a 19-point victory over Liberty. And then in the final, UNCG loses to 2-seed Tennessee Tech 79-57. So good win for the sim coach for Tennessee Tech, who is a Discord fan favorite.
Yes, he's one of the mods over there too. Tennessee Tech's first title in the they moved over from the Ohio Valley Conference to seek some tougher competition, and boy, have they gotten it. SoCon is down kind of as a whole, only going to get one bid in, but Tennessee Tech gets it done. And I do want to just send a plug. Earlier this today, I posted in the Discord and was asking for predictions, just kind of wanted to see what people thought. And I'm not going to lie, I got chills when I read Tennessee Tech write down, you know, Tennessee Tech finally puts it all together. And I'm just like, I can't react to that, man. I was like, but oh gosh, like I'm so excited to see his reaction when we sees that he's going to be dancing for the first time, I believe. And just so excited for those guys.
Yeah, maybe the next step of this, you know, of this sim community is to do live look-ins to reactions for coaches who get a bid. So awesome. We'll put the camera on Tennessee Tech for season 8. But congrats to them, and honestly, that whole conference is just really easy to cheer for. So happy to see a great result there in the final. For the SEC, Florida beat Arkansas in the first round to all but end Arkansas's at large hopes. Georgia, who was the 6-seed at 10-6 and had a 62 SOR, made a run to the title game but lost big to Florida. So number 1-seed Florida takes the SEC title. Matt, do you think Georgia has a shot after that SEC run beating fellow bubble team Ole Miss on the way to that title game?
You know, this was a conference that was very interesting when I was looking at it before. I had Florida, Auburn, and Kentucky all safe. I wrote down that Mississippi I thought needed a win, South Carolina needed two, and Georgia needed to win the whole thing. And I don't think any of those actually happened. So I think Mississippi didn't win, South Carolina got one, and Georgia got two. So I think Georgia's another one of those teams that I don't know if it's going to be enough. I think that if Georgia would have played somebody like Auburn in the first round, maybe somebody like Kentucky in the first round, a stronger team, I think that I could have seen them maybe get in. Even their semifinal match against Texas A&M, that wasn't even a team that I had on the bubble. I think they really only had their best chance to improve their SOR was against Florida, and they got blown out. So I don't know. Georgia's going to be a close one. Mississippi and South Carolina, same. They're going to be ones that they could be sweating.
Yeah, I mean, if style points count when it comes to the sim, Georgia did themselves no favors because they lost 73-45 in that final. So they're going to be on pins and needles as we get to Selection Sunday, so to speak. But interesting tournament and a lot of folks in that conference sitting on that bubble. For the Southland, Corpus Christi, who finished 16-0 in the conference, also swept through the tourney, beating number 3-seed New Orleans.
Yeah, their second title. Corpus Christi is building themselves a really strong team. I think they're going to be a strong team for a couple of seasons down there. But, you know, don't discount New Orleans, Abilene Christian. And Southeastern Louisiana is kind of a team that I think could be someone that makes some noise in the next year or two.
New Orleans can take some solace in the fact that I think we all still remember that epic run from, I think it was S5, when they were charging through the NCAA tournament. So at least they can sleep well at night knowing that they've made some tournament history. The Summit, your old conference, Matt, saw a lot of craziness with the 1-seed South Dakota State losing in the first round. The final was 3-seed North Dakota beating 4-seed South Dakota to advance.
Yeah, North Dakota's first Summit League title. Congratulations to the Fighting Sioux up there. Just it's such a fun conference. I think they had three teams this year. I want to say they had three teams that finished with 24 wins, one team that finished with 22. Just lots of really good teams. I feel so bad for my South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Oh man, losing to Western Illinois just takes the wind out of your sails. But I didn't have them as a bubble team. I did have Denver down as a potential bubble team, but they're lost to North Dakota in that semifinals. I don't think they're going to have enough to get in. But yeah, Summit League, more craziness, great conference.
Feels like the Pioneers are going to be heard from in future seasons. Seems like they're very active on the recruiting trail on the Discord. So shout out to Denver as they succumb in this tournament, but I'm sure we'll be competitive in years to come. To the SWAC, Grambling State, 15-1 and a one seed. They won a tight one versus four seed Prairie View, 63-61, but they also take the auto bid.
Yep, Grambling State, their third SWAC title, best defense in the country. They're going to be a very interesting team to watch going forward. I think they're going to probably project to be a 16 seed, and 16 seed with the best defense in the country. It's going to be very a tough matchup for a number one seed, that's for sure.
The question is, will any of these Road to Glory coaches who are going to pop up in the next seasons take a team out of the SWAC?
I thought about it. I had three or four teams in the SWAC, and I think I had two or three in the MEAC I was looking at. And at the end of the day, I just liked Kennesaw State's makeup. I was looking for teams that were more junior, senior heavy, and so I could churn over the roster quick enough. But yeah, I think that if you're looking for a Road to Glory, you got to go in one of those conferences. The SWAC, Grambling State's coach has been there for a while, and I mean, he could use some more Discord help, and also some other teams to get in there.
Yeah, well, Nevada, who declared they were gonna take their pack their bags and head to a Road to Glory situation. Take a look at the SWAC. I don't think any teams were on your list, but there's some good schools out there. To the WAC, two team race between one seed Cal Baptist and two seed New Mexico State. In the final, the one seed wins 75-65. So congrats to Cal Baptist.
Yep, Cal Baptist's second title. They're a very strong team. I think they were preseason number one. I really like them to be strong in this conference and put up a really tough test to somebody in the first round.
Yep, absolutely. And I think Cal Baptist has a pretty active coach or somewhat active coach in Discord. So again, always easy to cheer for those guys. The last tourney result, the WCC, the seeds largely held in the first round. Second round, BYU got past number two seed San Diego, setting up a huge game versus Gonzaga. BYU seemingly needing the auto bid, and they got killed in the final, 88-65 by Gonzaga, who moves on.
Gonzaga's fifth conference win, conference tournament win. They were guaranteed to get in. BYU needed this auto bid. Same with San Diego. I think that semifinal game was an elimination game either way, but I don't think either one of those teams has a strong enough resume to make a chance to get into the bubble.
Yeah, well, I guess Gonzaga is going to wear the banner of the WCC at the very least come tourney time. We're going to do a quick break in a bit here, but Matt, before we announce the bracket, one, just your thoughts on conference tournament season, and tell us what you have for bracketology after you've reviewed all the results.
Well, you know, I think that there were some very interesting – a lot of the number one seeds went through. A lot of preseason number ones went through. There were some surprises there. I think that it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of these – I felt like – the number one seeds were pretty cut and dry going into the conference tournaments. I thought that we could all agree that it was Michigan, Utah, Penn State, and North Carolina, I believe was the last other one I had on there. Mm-hmm. But I think we could all agree that those were probably going to be your top four seeds, and three of them didn't even make it to the final. So, or three, two of them did make it to the final. One of them made it to the final, but lost. So, I think number one seeds are still in flux, and it's going to be really interesting to see how, you know, where we go from there, who's going to be leading each region, and maybe, you know, who those bubble teams are going to be.
Yeah. It's been a crazy season as all these normally are. And there's still, I think, a ton of teams in play, as you mentioned. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Also to do a stat check or fact check, excuse me, on what we were talking about earlier, Iowa did beat Tulane in the championship of S6. Iowa won 66-65, so shout out to both those teams. Iowa sweating a bubble. Tulane nowhere to be heard from, but that run will never be forgotten. So for now, Matt, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the NCAA tournament bracket reveal. Hey, we are back from our break. Shout out again to Real Sim Shady. he makes this stuff look easy. It's a lot of fun for Matt and I, but it's definitely not the easiest thing on earth to record a podcast the night before the results are revealed on the Google Sheet. So hats off to you, Real Sim Shady, for all that you do for the sim. Matt, before we jump into the bracket and the reveal, any lasting thoughts, things that you're keeping an eye on? What do you want us to know?
All right. So just want to point out some things from my last bracketology here, and just without updated strength of records too. So, you know, it could look different. Hopefully it's pretty close, but we'll see. So I think after looking over everything, I think that your number one seeds are going to look like this. I think we're going to see Michigan as the number one overall seed out of the Midwest region. I think we'll see Florida State as the number one seed from the ACC. I think we're going to see St. Joe's jump Penn State for the East region number one seed. And I think your fourth number one seed is going to be Bowling Green out of the MAC. I think that their
SOR is just,
they're 29-2 on the season. And I feel like they have done enough to get themselves up there into the fourth number one seed. That being said, my top fours in each region. I have in the Midwest region, I've got Michigan number one, I've got Utah number two, Penn State number three, Kansas number four. South region, I've got Florida State number one, I've got Florida number two, I've got Temple third, and then I've got Seton Hall fourth. Out of the East region, I've got St. Joe's number one, I've got North Carolina number two, I've got Minnesota number three, and then I've got Oklahoma State number four. And then out of the West, I've got Bowling Green number one, I've got Arizona two, Louisville three, Green Bay four. So with that being said, looking over at the bubble. So here are my thoughts for the bubble. After doing all my calculations and putting in who I thought was safely in and who I thought was on the bubble, I had 60 spots filled with 21 teams remaining. So I was looking at 21 teams for 8 different spots. So here's my thoughts on it. I think that safely in the tournament, my last 4 byes are going to be Iowa, St. Louis, Charlotte, South Carolina. My last 4 in playing in the play-in games, Creighton, VCU, Boston College, UNLV. I think those 8 make the tournament. My first 4 out, I've got Mississippi, Detroit, Denver, UCLA. And then my last remaining 9 that I was considering, I have Wake Forest, Ball State, Texas, Indiana State, Pittsburgh, Georgia, Rhode Island, St. Bonaventure, Lafayette. So that being said, that's kind of where my thoughts at. I'm excited. Let's get into the bracket.
Yeah, I think you did just do me a courtesy by tacking my team's name on at the end there. But absolutely. But that's okay. That's okay. We can wait for this thing to be read out, and we can officially confirm whether or not we're in. So speaking of the Midwest, and speaking of that one seed, Michigan. So Michigan does indeed take the number one seed out of the Midwest. They will play 16 seed winner of Jacksonville UMBC. For the 8-9 game, we have Kent State out of the MAC facing 9 seed Oregon. So there's your first Pac-12 team. Cincinnati as a 5 seed gets the bid stealer Missouri State 12 seed in that 5-12 matchup out of the Midwest. 4-13, we have Oklahoma State, who won the Big 12 title against the Big Sky champions Idaho. So that should be an interesting matchup there. Loyola Chicago slots in as the 6 seed. They will get SEC Power Kentucky as the 11. In the 3-14 game, we have Louisville matching up against North Dakota. 7-10, Dayton, who came from the A-10 and made that run, as we mentioned, to the title game in the conference tournament. They will face off against number 10 Duke out of the ACC. And then in the 2-15, we have Utah, who made it to the Pac-12 title game, facing off against Delaware, who seemed like they're a pretty darn strong 15 seed, all things considered.
Yeah, there are some very interesting matchups here. I think the one that jumps off the page to me right now is I'm looking at that 7-10 matchup between Dayton and Duke. Those teams are both really close record-wise, but each team is strong in a different part of the game. Duke is more of an offensive team, averaging 74.1 points per game and having over 50% of their roster rating on the offensive side. Meanwhile, Dayton, 62% points allowed, and 7.7 of their 14.4 roster points are on defense. So that game is going to be a very interesting contrast of styles. I think the other game that really kind of jumps out to me, I'm very interested to see that 4-13 Oklahoma State and Idaho. Idaho is very, very senior heavy. They have, they're averaging, giving up 59.9 points per game. And I think that they could be the one, they could be a team there that pulls off an upset in the first round.
Yeah, this looks like a heck of a Midwest bracket. I look at that 8-9 game and would think that the winner of that game would have a great chance against a lot of teams, but man, Michigan does seem strong. So I don't know if we're going to see any upsets come out of that region.
Yeah, I agree. I think Michigan to the Sweet 16 is a very safe bet. I think that maybe Cincinnati to the Sweet 16 is probably a safe bet. That Loyola Chicago Kentucky game looks really good too.
Yeah, I can't wait for this one to play out, and especially A-10 representative Dayton facing off against ACC power Duke. So we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll go down to the West, which again, the winners of both of these brackets will play each other in the Final Four. So in the West, one seed St. Joe's out of the A-10 will face 16 seed Grambling State. In the 8-9, we have Virginia Tech out of the ACC playing 9 seed St. Louis. 5 seed Ohio State will face off against 12 seed and Conference USA champion Old Dominion. 4 seed Gonzaga plays against 13 seed Cal Baptist. 6 versus 11, you've got San Diego State out of the MWC facing the winner of, and again, these 11 seeds, Creighton versus Iowa. And I'm going to stop there to get your reaction, Matt.
Ooh, well, Creighton, man, yeah, both of those teams squarely on the bubble. And wow, I thought Iowa was in a little better position, but wow, that's big. I think it's going to be interesting to see, is that going to be the one that's the lower of the two, or is that going to be, are those the last two teams in, or are those going to be, you know, 3 and 4? That's interesting. Creighton and Iowa, that's going to be a really good matchup. Iowa, yeah. Oh man, that's a very strong defensive team. Like, they could, if they win and they get San Diego State, Iowa could be somebody who makes some noise.
Yeah, well, if you're a bubble team, I'm feeling for you right now, as you just heard two names call it who were squarely on that bubble. 3 versus 14, Arizona out of the Pac-12 facing Texas A&M Corpus Christi. 7 versus 10, you don't see this name here very often, Michigan State facing off against San Jose State. And then in the 2 versus 15, Florida versus Long Beach State. Again, a heck of a 15 seed Long Beach State with their roster rating of 13.263. But facing a tough Florida SEC squad. But Matt, what are your reactions to this side of the bracket?
Well, this region has some very interesting teams. I look at, you have the top scoring team in the country in 12 seed Old Dominion, and you have the best defensive team in the country in 16 seed Grambling State. So there are some teams that could cause some matchup nightmares for some higher seeds. One of the games that's going to be really interesting, I don't think it's going to be close, but record-wise, it really jumps off the page, is that Cal Baptist-Gonzaga game. Both teams coming in at 27-4. I mean, just great seasons for both of those guys. But you can tell the disparity in the conferences there by the fact that at 27-4, Gonzaga out of the West Coast Conference is a 4 seed, and at 27-4, Cal Baptist out of the WAC is a 13. Yeah, that play-in game is going to be really good. Creighton and Iowa. San Diego State's not going to have an easy task in that first round proper.
Yeah, this feels like a bracket to watch. I can't remember Michigan State ever being this low as a 17, but what a rough matchup facing San Jose State. San Jose State, who I believe were the preseason MWC favorites, easily the strongest ranked 7-10 matchup in the field. No spoiler there, but you got two great teams, and I have to feel like if you're Florida, you have to count yourselves a little bit unlucky to get that winner in the second round.
Yeah, Michigan State, they regularly have been, I think I'm looking at past stuff here, the only other time they've been this low is they were a 9 seed in season 1. But other than that, they've been a 1 seed in S5 and S6, a 2 in S3, and then a 4 in S2 and S4. So this is kind of lower territory for them, but they could be a team that, you know, in Florida shouldn't look into the Sweet 16 too easily, because they're going to have a tough task with either Michigan State or the NCAA debutantes in San Jose State.
Yeah, agreed. I wouldn't be surprised for an upset there. But let's go top right if you're trying to visualize this all in your head as a listener. Top right to the South, and we'll start off with 1 seed Florida State playing the winner of Winthrop in Princeton in that 1 versus 16 game. 8-9, 8-seed Illinois State facing 9-seed Auburn. In the 5-12, we have Miami of Ohio facing the winner of Boston College and Mississippi. So there's two more names you can listen. Matt, I'll finish this one off, and then we'll just get your reaction to this whole thing. Green Bay as the 4-seed facing off against fellow mid-major Tennessee Tech as the 13. Villanova as the 6, facing off against Eli's Charlotte squad. So there's another team that we were talking about earlier. Temple as the 3, facing against Patriot League champion Holy Cross in a Northeastern matchup. 7-10, Providence versus South Carolina. And then 2-15, Penn State versus that bid stealer out of the MWC, Fresno State. But Matt, I know there's a lot to digest here. What are your reactions?
Yeah, as a bubble team, if you're waiting to hear your team, this is not the region for you. You heard Boston College come off the table. You heard Mississippi come off the table. You heard Charlotte come off the table. And you heard South Carolina come off the table. So right now, that bubble tightens up so much. And this one proves right here, your last two teams in, Boston College and Mississippi. So if I'm somebody like UNLV or Detroit or Denver or UCLA, that's not what I wanted to hear. I think that could be the nail in the coffin for some of those teams. Just looking at this region as a whole, lots of really good teams here. Whoever wins that Boston College Mississippi matchup, their game against Miami of Ohio is going to be just absolutely nuts. That 7-10 matchup between Providence and South Carolina is going to be really close. But the one that's really interesting to me, if you look at that 8-9 matchup, Illinois State's roster ranking is a 12.613, and Auburn as the 9 seed comes in as a 14.4. So I think that Auburn may actually be the favorites in that game, Auburn making their first NCAA tournament appearance. Yeah, so this is going to be another region if you're a bubble team, yeah, this is not what you wanted to see.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit I don't understand the SOR ranking, as do most people. And I know, Matt, you've tried to crack that code. Illinois State, 12.613 roster rating, comfortably in as the 8 seed. And I think their SOR was pretty strong, if I remember correctly. I'm going to pull it up now while I'm here. Yeah, the 2022 SOR going into the conference tournament. So squarely in, I'm, you know, good for them for putting together a winning season, because that seems like they, they outkicked themselves a little bit here with their average roster rating relative to their final SOR.
Yeah, they just, sometimes you just get in a groove. And I think Illinois State had a great, great non-conference scheduling. I think that I don't have it up in front of me right now, but you know, I want to say that they must have played in a pretty prestigious tournament. They were able to get a strong SOR at the beginning, and then couple that with the fact that Missouri Valley was very strong, a very top-heavy conference with, I think, 5 teams above the top 100 in SOR at one point. So that's something that obviously helped Illinois State. And like you said, you know, you don't very often see a team with a 12.6 rating go 23-7 and get an 8 seed, but kudos to those guys for making it work.
Yeah, I know. I feel Auburn feels pretty decent about that matchup too, heading into tournament play. But for those of you on the bubble, we'll put you out of your suspense in a minute here. Let's go down to the East, the bottom right. So you're 1 seed out of the East, Bowling Green out of the MAC, facing off against Murray State. 8-9, you have UConn, which is a program that is consistent and seems to be even more on the rise of late. On the recruiting trail, they will face number 9, Notre Dame. 5-12, you have Kansas against Rider out of the Metro Athletic. 4-13, you have Minnesota versus Georgia State. 6-11, Nevada versus VCU, the Rams coming out of the A-10 as that 11 seed. And then 3-14, you have Seton Hall versus the CAA champion William & Mary. 7-10, you have Maryland facing off against Butler. And then the 2-15, you haven't heard their names the entire time, but you can't forget about them. North Carolina as the 2 seed against number 15, Wagner. Matt, a lot to unpack here.
Yep, there's VCU taking that last bubble spot. We see UNLV out of the tournament. Wow, just crazy to think that, like, 2 weeks ago, or even like two cycles ago, UNLV was one of those teams that, yeah, in the Discord, everyone's just, you know, UNLV's won the conference like five times so far, and everyone's talking about, oh, is this the year we can beat UNLV? And they, Fresno State comes along, hits them at the right time, and does enough to knock them out and put somebody like Mississippi in. Just absolutely crazy. The East region as a whole, it's a very good region. I think one of the matchups I'm very excited to see is that 5-12 matchup between Kansas and Rider. Kansas comes into it averaging 74.4 points a game. Rider comes into it only allowing 57.6, and they're both dead even at 14.025. So that is going to be a very interesting matchup to watch. Other matchups that are, that kind of come off the page at me. Butler is a 14.6 as a 10 seed facing against the 7 seed Maryland, who's only a, that's going to be another very interesting matchup there. And I, Connecticut and Notre Dame, that's, you know, a matchup that I just, I think that's going to be the best of the 8-9 games. That one, if I call any game going to overtime, I think that UConn and Notre Dame is going to go to overtime.
Yeah, I think there are a ton of toss-ups in this region between that matchup. You know, with Nevada and VCU, that was a once ill-fated bracket busters matchup that had to be rescheduled. But the winner gets a very winnable matchup. Seton Hall is to advance and beat William & Mary. But there are a ton of close roster ratings across the board in this region. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the most upsets out of any region coming out of this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think this region, maybe the West region, are two that I think will be. I think we'll see the most upsets. I think the one that I'm going take it to the bank. I'm saying that Old Dominion as a 12 is going to beat Ohio State as a 5. That's my one that I think. If you pick one, that's the one to pick.
All right, well, folks, if they're doing the bracket challenge on our sim, then you got one prediction for Matt. With Bowling Green, they have two losses all year. One of them is to Morehead State, of all teams, when Bowling Green was a 14-point home favorite. And then the second was also a home loss to Kent State for their only conference loss of the year. What do you make of Bowling Green, especially as they might be staring a UConn-Notre Dame matchup in the second round?
Well, you know, Bowling Green kind of has followed the mold of Green Bay and Wright State of years past, you know, those mid-major teams that have been really, really highly ranked and have made runs. And I think Bowling Green it's not that like they've come through a tough or through a weak conference. You know, the MAC is one of the better conferences mid-major wise. So I think that they're battle tested. I think that they could go on a run. I think that it's going to get pretty tricky. They have Minnesota staring at them as a potential Elite Eight matchup. They've got North Carolina on the other side of the bracket there if they can get through. So, you know, I don't necessarily see them making a Final Four run, but I think that as that other number one seed, I think that they are very much deserving of that spot.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have a body of work that's impressive, and being at the top of the MAC is no easy feat. For those who are curious, one of the top teams in this region that we didn't talk about very much is 6-seed Minnesota, who has technically the second highest roster rating in this region at 15.213, right below North Carolina at 15.413. But it's conceivable that Minnesota can make a run here in what is a very winnable side of their bracket.
Yeah, I completely agree. Minnesota's been a team that my ranking algorithm has severely underseeded them all year. They lost a lot early on, and despite having SORs of high 10, you know, into like the 7 range, you know, I had them lower, like in the 4, 5, 6 range. But they're a very, very dangerous team. Like you said, 15.2 roster ranking. They do have 8 losses on the season, but I mean, they're a very, very dangerous team that I think is going to, I think if I'm going Final Four, I think you can go Minnesota, North Carolina, and the Elite Eight out of the East region. And I would not be surprised to see the Golden Gophers in the Final Four.
Yeah, they seem primed for a run. They also have, again, a very active coach in the Discord. So I'm sure he can't wait to see what happens come tourney time. this feels like the real NCAA tournament because we're pitting mid-majors against each other, which the selection committee is want to do. But Tennessee Tech slid into the field with the conference tourney run. Their reward is a matchup against Green Bay. And then the winner would possibly place Miami of Ohio. So, you know, I feel like can we spread the love around mid-majors a bit and try to get some major conference foes scheduled early in the tournament, because this feels a little unfair.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see, you know, your bid breakdown, seeing like four Mountain West teams get in, and I don't think we can call the Atlantic 10 a mid-major conference anymore, but seeing, you know, five of them get in, and, you know, seeing three Missouri Valleys and three MAC schools and all, and two Conference USA schools, it's just, it's nice to see, at least in the sim, we're seeing more of these, you know, we're not seeing as many one bid conferences. We're seeing more conferences elevate their play and send more teams into the field. And I think that's what makes this so interesting. The fact that, like, you can look at this and see, like, that Miami Ohio matchup you're talking about there. You've got a team from the MAC as the 5 seed waiting to take on the winner of a game between two teams from the ACC and the SEC, and they're going to be the 12 seed. It's just like, it's not something we would see normally. And it's just really just a cool facet about this game that just fuels the passion that I have for this. I agree with what you said earlier about, you know, some of us who wouldn't care to admit how much time we actually spend on this to our families or whatever. But yeah, I completely agree. It's so cool to see different conferences get represented like this and see them get boosted up.
Yeah, I can't imagine how many people had their work browsers open at 11:59 a.m. on Monday and had their, you know, their season 7 guide recruiting and forms all up there at this exact same time. So lots to look forward to, Matt. Since I've got you on here, still any Final Four and national champion predictions that you want to put out there?
All right, let's see. Okay, out of the Midwest, I don't think you can bet against Michigan. 30-1, number one overall seed. Even though Utah does have a higher roster ranking, I think Michigan is just, I think they're the cream of the crop, and I think you get Michigan in the Final Four there. Out of the West region, I'm going to go with Florida as the 2 seed coming out of the West region. They've got if they can get past Michigan State or San Jose State in that round of 32, I think, you know, they've got potentially Arizona in the Elite Eight, and then St. Joe's, Florida would be a great matchup. I think the South region is going to be the one where my crazy pick comes from. And I think I am all aboard the Miami of Ohio bandwagon. I think that the Red Hawks are going to make a run of the Final Four. They've got that interesting matchup with whoever wins the Boston College Mississippi matchup. They've got more than likely Green Bay in the round of 32, and then after that, Florida State. You know, Miami of Ohio is a solid defensive team. Florida State's more of an offensive team. I think that, you know, defense wins championships. I'm going to go with them there, and potentially Penn State in a great defensive matchup in the Elite Eight there. And then out of the East region, Minnesota. I think there you go. I'm going to go Minnesota. I'm going to go Miami of Ohio, Florida, and Michigan. Those are my Final Four predictions.
All right. Do you want to throw out a national champion prediction, or you want to keep us in suspense until we get closer to the end of the sim here?
I'll throw out a national champion. Why not? Let's see. Who do I want to like me? I think we're going to go with – well, if you look at history has – we have 3 different Big Ten teams winning the title. I think we make that a 4th, and I'm going with the Minnesota Golden Gophers to win the national championship.
The Golden Gophers. Wow. So you won't even take Michigan, who you said was the number one seed coming into the whole tournament, but you have confidence in another Big Ten squad.
I think Michigan makes it to the Final Four. I think that Florida gets them. Florida's a very good defensive team. And then I think that Florida and Minnesota have a classic.
All right, well, you heard it here first. I'm not going to venture any predictions just because I'd rather see it all unfold, or maybe I'll wait till I fill out the bracket challenge on the sim. But I appreciate, Matt, you jumping on here, and really appreciate Sim Shady allowing us to hijack his podcast for an hour, hour and a half. to do this. I had a great time. Hope you did too, Matt. Anything else you want to share before we jump off the air?
Absolutely. Had a blast. Great working with you. Great job doing this on such short notice. Also, I'd like to reiterate, thank you so much to Sim Shady. I really appreciate all the work that you do. And Eli, thank you so much for everything that you do. You've created a monster, and we just love this monster so much.
Yeah, plus 100 to that. I mean, Eli, is gracious enough to even respond to a bunch of college basketball geeks throughout the week and weekend about a simulation he created on his own time and continues to invest in, despite all of us probably giving him a lot of reasons not to, given how much we probably pound on his door. But yeah, Matt, great to connect on here. Hope everyone enjoyed this. Sorry for anyone who was waiting for an NIT reveal. We will not be doing that as we don't have those results. But hope everyone enjoyed this, and good luck to the teams in the tournament. See ya.